comes to taking it to the house.
Listen to the sound of the National Football League.
Live it live on your one and only home for the 12th man in the NFL.
Welcome back to the house.
Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJR.
Yes, man!
KJR AM and KJR FM HD2 Seattle.
All right, hour number two. It's Puck and Slick with you on a Not For Me Monday. Headlines brought to you by our good friends at VenueKings.com. Seahawks victorious are 3-0 on the season with a win over the they're playing the Miami Dolphins. Win over the Dallas Cowboys 38-31. Next up is Miami Russell Wilson, 5 TDs. He's got 14 on the season, just one interception. Injury update. Chris Carson, first-degree strain. Jamal Adams, that's his knee. Jamal Adams, first-degree groin strain.
Yee. Dude.
Ooh.
Yes. No, thank you.
You ever been kicked in the nether regions hard?
Kicked? I played basketball. I got a little knee or a kick or whatever, yeah.
No, but I'm saying, like, intentionally kicked.
No. Can't imagine that's fun.
Yeah, I was on the playground first grade.
What did you do to deserve
whatever,
that?
Just being mean. Some guy with cowboy boots kicked me in the nards.
Good Lord.
Knocked me out, man. Jordan Brooks, first-degree strain. Damian Lewis injured his ankle. A chance to play, though, we think, against Miami. Monday Night Football tonight. Ravens and Chiefs. Coverage starts at 5 on 950 KJ. Ravens favored by 3.5. Mariners done with their season. They finished 27-33. Playoffs start on Tuesday. Houston, Minnesota, White Sox in Oakland, Tampa Bay and Toronto, Cleveland and the Yankees. Sounders over the Galaxy 3-1. They are the number one team in the Western Conference. Storm are headed to the WNBA Finals. They'll face either Las Vegas or Connecticut. NBA Finals are set, Lakers and the Heat. Game one Wednesday. A new AP Top 25 poll released. Pac-12 is represented. Oregon at number 14. Clemson, number one, then Alabama. Mississippi State jumps into the top 25. They're at 16 after they upset LSU. All right, coming up, we got Curtis Crabtree next segment. Factor Fiction, 11:35, Tweet of the Day. Lunch Break, Puck to Picker Recap. Ew. Not as bad as Factor Fiction. Not good.
Well, that's because you had more games to pick with Puck the Picker.
Oh,
more kicks at the cat.
Yeah, you're damn right about that one. Jeez. You know, did we leave anyone off on our shots? We don't need to play the shots. Did we leave anyone else off? We forgot to mention Ryan Neal. Now, I'm going to be the first one to raise my hand. You guys can be brave and raise your hand as well.
Okay.
When the game was over and the guy intercepted the ball in the end zone, I had no idea who that was.
Oh, I was trying to figure out, who's 35?
Wait, and is someone Deshaun asked me,
Shedd back?
Like, I was sitting with some people and they said, who is that? I said, it's the guy they just, that guy they brought up. I thought it was the Stevens guy. Didn't they bring up the, isn't he a receiver? Or a DB?
Wasn't he? No, he's a tight end.
No, then it was another guy that they
another
just
Stevens?
Brought.
Oh.
Wasn't there another one?
No, you're thinking of Steven Sullivan, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes. That's who you're thinking of. There's another guy that I thought that they brought up.
Right.
And then they're like, Ryan Neal. I'm like, who the Blake? Who is Ryan Neal?
Mm-hmm.
And when did he get called up?
And why haven't we seen more of him?
He didn't do anything. He threw the ball right at him. Well, he didn't even.
Made a pick. Made a great defensive
play. So, for those out there who like the three of us, and a lot of you in the audience as well, didn't know who he was. Ryan Neal, let's get to know Ryan. Ryan Christopher Neal. He was born December 24th, 1995.
Christmas Eve.
In Hammond, Indiana. He attended Maryville High School. He went to Southern Illinois.
Saluki.
He went undrafted. He signed with the Eagles practice squad in 2018. He was waived by the team in August. He signed with the Falcons and was later waived right before the final cuts. He signed to the Seahawks practice squad last season. His younger brother, Mike, plays for Green Bay. That's Ryan Christopher Neal.
Well, look at that.
How about that? All right. You want to go a little trip around the NFL before we talk to Curtis Crabtree coming up at 11:20? I'm watching the highlights again of the Seahawks. Benson Mayowa, wrap him up!
Get him!
I thought that was a touchdown. I really did.
What
when
play?
He got away from Mayowa, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to throw in the end zone for a touchdown.
We've seen it before.
And then is McCarthy going to go for two?
That's all I was thinking about.
Two in the win.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking about was they're going to get it and go for two, and we're going to have the same thing that we had on Sunday night.
Is Russell wearing, I don't know if you saw the press conference, is it a scarf? Is it a gaiter? You know, I wear the gaiter that you can pull up over your mouth.
Yeah.
Or is he wearing a neck brace?
Neck brace?
Whatever he's wearing in the postgame.
Okay, I got to pull a video of that.
I'm reading a stat earlier, passing under duress. Wilson is completing 73% of those passes this year. The rest of the league is completing 46%.
He's had a lot of practice throwing under duress.
Well, we're going to get an update on all the injuries coming up here in about 15 minutes with our guy, Curtis Crabtree. We'll get back into the Seahawks heavy specific. But around the NFL, do we think the Niners have a quarterback controversy?
No.
The best they've ever looked with Nick Mullins.
That's not true. It's not the best they've ever looked.
Best they've looked this year, Nick Mullins. There is a belief, if you ever listen to John Lund with Ian Furness, there was a belief down there that the drop-off wouldn't be much. There's a belief in the Bay Area that he can be as good.
I think Garoppolo is better than most people think that he is. I think he's a pretty good quarterback.
Because you're attracted to him. That's okay.
I don't think that had played into it at all.
Sure it does. It skews your thoughts.
Lots of pretty people can be bad at things.
I mean, look at me. They pound the Giants 36-19. Mullins, 343 yards. And, I mean, credit to the Niners with everything they've had to go through.
Yeah.
I mean, the tarmac and then the Greenbrier and the MRI.
The MRI machine.
Cardinals.
That's my favorite part.
Cardinals suffer their first loss. Going down to the Lions. Kyler Murray, 3 interceptions.
Thank you, Lions.
You know, one issue they're going to have, if you watch any of their games, I don't know how much you guys saw or tuned into any of that stuff, but he locks in on one guy and one guy only.
Yeah, it's a really good guy to lock in.
I understand that, but like you have to throw the ball to more people than one guy every time.
Yeah.
And that's why he gets those interceptions. He literally locks into Hopkins from the get-go. I mean, you're right, and he does respond.
Mm-hmm.
He had 10 catches for, what, over 137 yards yesterday. But
I mean, he's always kind of had that guy. I mean, he had CeeDee Lamb in college, right?
But you do have to spread it around a little bit.
Yeah. Andy Isabella. He's making some plays. Well,
Rams nearly pulled off a 25-point comeback. Jeez, but they fell to the Bills 35-32. Your guy, Josh Allen.
I'm
not
going
to do it
Josh
yet.
Allen.
No, it's only 3 games. I'm not willing to apologize to you or Chuck yet.
Okay.
Let the season play out 100%.
But just look.
Yeah, all right.
Looks pretty good.
For now, he looks pretty good.
We'll see what happens.
But he got lucky yesterday. Allen over 1,000 yards passing, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception, and I mean, gets bailed out on a BSPI call.
I don't think it was BS, by the way. I think it was a good call.
Oh, so when the yes, I'm glad the Rams lost.
Yeah.
But when the receiver runs into the defender and is as much contact as the DB and pushes off, that's...
The receiver was running...
They should have called pass interference on the receiver, if you're going to call pass interference.
No, he had his hand in his shoulder pad... He rerouted him. He couldn't get to the ball.
How would you like to be an Eagles fan? Only if we knew an Eagles fan in the building.
That's something.
Does
I really
he have
like.
A sister? Because you know they say ties is like kissing your sister.
Ugh.
Does Chucky have a sister?
I don't know.
I think he just has
brothers.
23-23. The hell is wrong with Doug Peterson? Why would you not even attempt the 64-yard field goal? Why wouldn't you even try to throw a Hail Mary? Why wouldn't you even try to pick up the first down? It's only 4th and 12. You paid $125 million to a ginger quarterback, and you don't trust him to maybe throw it past 12 yards? He admitted, though, early this morning on his coach's show that he screwed up.
By not
going for it.
Oof.
By not
well,
doing
yeah.
By not either going to Hail Mary, having him throw, or attempting the field goal.
I guess you're worried about the loss, I guess.
Come on, do we have the Herm Edwards? Where's the Herm Edwards drop right now? This is the perfect time to go Herm Edwards drop on you. Play to win the game. This isn't soccer.
No, that's a good point.
Can the NFL not figure this out? When did college football figure this out?
Well, with overtime?
How long have we had the overtime rule in college football? 8 years ago? 9 years? How long has it been?
Longer than that.
Okay. Play, here's the thing. You want to have your stupid little overtime they have now, which is ridiculous anyways. Then have that in it. Have your overtime. But once the regular overtime ends in a tie,
mm-hmm.
then you know, put the ball at the 20 or the 25 and settle it on the field.
Well, they never should have. They shaved 5 minutes off of overtime. They never should have done that.
You play to win
there
the
game. There he is.
There is Herm.
You don't play to just play it.
Yeah, there. Yeah. It's not soccer.
That's the great thing about sports.
Leave the stadium with a
you
point.
You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win.
Hello? Yeah. There we go. I mean, come on, Herm. Herm said it the best.
No, that's right.
Change it. You know what? Play the normal. If you want to play this normal overtime, fine. I like the college overtime. I think it's great. It's so much more exciting than this. Everybody gets the ball because no one gets, and I know they've changed it, but you don't get screwed over with the coin flip.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets an equal opportunity on it. Okay, if you don't like it to 25, then put it to 35.
I like it for college just fine.
Oh,
I think the NFL should go back to 15 minutes.
College is so much better when it comes to some of this stuff. Overtime and the replay and targeting, all of that. God, it's weird.
Mm.
$128 million they spent on that guy. 59% completion percentage, 3 TDs, and 6 interceptions.
Ooh.
Ugh. My God.
Is that $128
million? $128 million for that guy.
Nope.
Mitchell Trubisky era is over in Chicago. Nick Foles replaced him.
BDN.
And their win over Atlanta. Boy, God, has Quinn been fired yet?
Not yet.
Oh, man. That sucks.
Is Nick Foles now officially the best backup quarterback in NFL history?
Yeah, well, he's going to be the starter. You want to go? I wanted to go down this rabbit hole today, and I did. And I revisited the trade. 2017. Chicago traded up one spot in the first round to take Trubisky at number 2.
Yeah.
They sent the 3rd overall pick, a 3rd round pick, a 4th round pick, and a 2018 3rd round pick to the Niners. San Francisco at number 3 took Solomon Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
They traded their 3rd round pick, which was the 67th overall, to the New Orleans Saints,
okay,
who took the best grill in the game, Alvin Kamara.
Oh, my God.
They traded their 4th round pick to Seattle, who took Double T, Tedrick Thompson.
Tedrick Thompson.
T2.
Patrick Mahomes was selected 10th overall, and Deshaun Watson was selected 12th. And Mitchell Trubisky's done in Chicago.
Swing and a miss.
Swing and a miss. Packers over the Saints, 37-30. And everyone's right about Drew Brees. He literally cannot throw the ball past 10 yards. He can't.
You think?
Did you see one throw over 10 yards yesterday?
I guess not, but who is he throwing to, really?
Yeah, but they even said on the telecast, like, he had a guy there and he didn't even try to throw him the ball.
Yeah.
The one where he threw to Kamara. What is it?
Kamara. I said Kamara.
Do we know it's Kamara or is it Kamara?
I don't know. I say Kamara, you say Kamara.
The one he threw it to him.
Yeah.
That person.
41.
They even said it on the broadcast that he had a guy deep. I can't remember who it was deep, but he's like, he wouldn't even try to throw it to him.
Well, I knew he had a touchdown right there.
I mean, they brought in Taysom Hill to throw a deep pass, which he didn't even do, and he tucked and run. And yes, I've been one to mock those who mock Taysom Hill, and that was a terrible time
for
Taysom Hill to come into a game and fumble the ball.
Yes, that's not what you want from the Taysom Hill package.
That's not the package that you want. All right, we'll get back to the Seahawks. Curtis Crabtree, is he up? Does he know the very latest?
Does he know who was injured? Does he know who won?
Curtis Crabtree, our Seahawks reporter next. Also, Fact or Fiction brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino.
Wilson, deep drop, back to pass, holds up, deep downfield for DK Metcalf, he's got it! Touchdown, Seattle!
Your home for the 12th man and the NFL.
Spinning into the end zone, touchdown, Kansas City!
Seattle Sports Radio 950.
Wait on 3, 1, 2, 3!
KJR.
Really is a tradition like no one. When we get to sit and talk to our guy every Monday at 11:20, talking Seahawks, put your hands together for Curtis Crabtree. Yay! Joins us on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline from his palatial studio in Renton, Washington. Hello, Curtis. How are you?
Hi, guys. What's going on?
Yeah, you tell us. You wrote your recap. I read it thoroughly last night and even early this morning because I lose my mind. Of your recap of the game yesterday, you can read it yourself at sportsradiokjr.com. Also, follow Curtis on Twitter there as well, @Curtis_Crabtree. Let's get the injury stuff out of the way. Where are we at right now with the injury situation to the Seahawks?
There's a lot of them. That's the problem. More so than anything, I mean, Chris Carson, Jordan Brooks, Mike Iupati, Ethan Posick, Damian Lewis, Quentin Dunbar, Lano Hill. There's a slew of guys that either were injured going into the game and played through it or came out of the game injured. And the majority of them seem like they're relatively minor in the grand scheme of things, but still that might have, you know, impact on their immediate availability for this week or whatnot. So I think that, you know, maybe the most obvious one, two, I should say, are going to be Chris Carson and Jamal Adams. From what Pete Carroll said this morning, neither one of them appear all that significant, but that could still mean questionable status for this week in Miami. So, on the good side of it, none of them are too serious, but still there's a number of them they got to try to get through here.
Why isn't Tristan Hill kicked out of the league yet?
Well, they're kick him out of the league.
Kick him out.
No, that play was dirty as hell, though. I mean, to gator roll a guy on the ground like that, there's just no. I mean, it's about as dirty a play as I can think of in my recent memory. To have a play over like that and have a guy on the ground and just wrench his knee over like that—that's not good. So, I mean, it's going to be a clear fine. Whether it's anything more than that, I don't know. I probably wouldn't expect anything more than that. But you can say, look, if you're going to throw out guys for – eject guys for games for going helmet to helmet, you take something like that where it's even a little bit more controlled circumstance. It's, you know, it's right up there in my opinion. So, but I just – you know, from the reporting we've seen so far, a suspension's not likely, but – you know, we'll see if they change their minds on that.
So you got to imagine Chris Carson probably sits next week in Miami then. Do you think we might get to see some DJ Dallas in the backfield this week?
Well, if Carson's out, then I think that would make, you know, some sense to get him out there. I mean, they have Hyde and Travis Homer to use as the 1-2 guys, but we've seen them use three backs as it goes anyway. So if Carson's going to be inactive and not playing this week, then I could certainly see a chance where Dallas could get some run too. But I wouldn't expect it to be significant. It would be his first game, obviously, playing in that sort of a role. So we'll see what he can bring to the table. I'm sure they would like to get him a couple touches if they get a chance in that sort of circumstance. But we'll see if Carson's able to bounce back this week or not.
Curtis Crabtree, our Seahawks reporter, every Monday at 11:20, breaking down the game. You can read his work up at sportsradiokjar.com, where his takeaways from the game yesterday. Also, follow him on Twitter for the very latest injury news and notes, at Curtis_Crabtree. When, in your expertise and your history of covering these types of injuries, a first-grade strain, how long usually does this mean a player is out for?
It's all kind of depend. Like, we've seen even worse injuries than that come back pretty quick. Like, you know, a small MCL sprain of some kind bounce back. And, you know, it's kind of player dependent. But, you know, first degree strains are, you know, about as, you know, minimal in the grand scheme of things as you can have. So I wouldn't expect them to be, you know, long sort of circumstances. I think, you know, it's more so just, do you want to push it? You know, is really a road trip to Miami against an AFC team in week four of a 16-week season going to be the biggest, you know, instance of trying to push guys through? I don't think it probably will be. And you don't want anything to become worse. Like, Chris Carson's, I wouldn't expect to become worse because of him playing. Jamal Adams, a groin strain, that could get worse. So it's going to be all situation dependent and what the injury is. And, you know, how much you want to try to, like I said, push things along given where you're at in the schedule and the season and the opponent and all that.
You know, one thing that makes, like, your guys' job hard and everyone's, you know, job in seeking information is they are only, you know, you don't have an open locker room anymore. So you can't go talk to Jamal Adams. You can't go talk to DK Metcalf. You can only talk to the guys that they bring up to the podium. And yesterday, it's, you know, it's Russell, it's Pete. I think it was Alton Robinson.
Bobby.
I think it was Bobby. And then Ryan Neal. Ryan Christopher and, Neal, by the way.
And right? Tyler Lockett, too.
And Tyler Lockett. So we don't get to hear from Metcalf. We don't get to hear from Adams. You know, you're sure, maybe this week, maybe you'll get something out of Metcalf. But what was the general theme for those who did talk about DK Metcalf on what happened and what was he thinking on that play?
Oh, basically, you know, Tyler Lockett called it a learning moment for him and basically for everybody that you can't, you know, let up like that. And you know, in another question that was asked to Russell about, you know, his you know, kind of relationship that he's built with DK Metcalf at the end of it, he was like, yeah, I told him, don't ever do that again. So,
he was hot on the sideline. If people, you know, remember watching, I mean, Wilson was hot.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find the direct quote was, he had that fluke play today. I told him to never do it again. So, I mean, I don't think you need to say one word to DK Metcalf. He's gonna know what the heck happened, and he's gonna feel terrible about it all on his own.
We were gonna bring this up earlier, and we're tongue in cheek about this one. And I was having, because I do believe that we're not gonna do that yet, Chris. I we'll get into that later. I thought a little bit we saw just a sprinkle of the one thing that always worries me about guys like this. And can we, is a little bit of the crack of the diva door opened yesterday that I thought. And what I'll be honest with you, and I'm an old man on my lawn, I get it. The one thing I didn't like after, there's two things. One, I don't care about the laughing on the sideline. That angered some people.
I laugh at my mistakes all the time.
Okay. What bothered me, I think, was the touchdown reception. It's not a time to dance. It's not a time to do the Dion dance.
Good job.
Hand the ball. I'm just saying, hand the ball to the ref and run back to the sideline. Because you could have cost your team a game. And now in the grand scheme of things, you look back in the end of the season, they missed the play. Whatever. They missed the division. They missed anything by one game. I thought when he caught the touchdown pass, which was awesome, go Barry Sanders it, hand it to the ref, run back to the sideline. I didn't think, after what had happened early in the game, Curtis, I didn't need to see the Dion dance. But that's just me. I'm old, and
Well, I mean, and following up on that, Tyler Lockett did say that he was happy for DK to have caught the game winner and all of that, and that obviously there was a game winner to be caught, because that means that the touchdown he let slip away with the fumble doesn't have the impact that it would have otherwise. And so it's one of those things that you can learn the lesson and not have it be a terrible kind of cloud over everything. And so that's the upside of it.
Like you mentioned, Curtis, I mean, Russell got in his face a little bit on the sideline. He had the critical comment there in the post game. It's just, to me, it seems like a different leadership style from Russell Wilson than maybe we've seen in years past. What have you noticed as far as that goes and his leadership and the way it's changed and maybe what might have been a catalyst behind that?
Well, I think he feels like it's truly his team now. More so than anything else, and I think he's stepping up to that plate and trying to be a little bit more vocal about stuff publicly than he'd been, you know, previously. And I think you see that manifest in a couple of different ways, but, you know, I wouldn't necessarily see him saying, you know, about DK Metcalf, don't ever do that again to us, you know, in 4 or 5 years ago. He wouldn't be making those sort of comments. You know, he's not going to go up to a podium 5 years ago and tell Richard Sherman, how about you don't blow up at the coaches on the sideline? Thank you very much. You know, it's just, he's in a different position now than he was then. And I think you're kind of seeing that manifest itself in these sort of ways.
It's another conversation, even though it's after a win, they're 3-0 and all that. And the offense has looked incredible. The press conference, and I listened to it yesterday, a lot of questions focusing again on the defense, and it was brought up, do you have anything internally to help your defense, or do you have to look outside of the organization? What do they have anything on the horizon they can look outside? What's the latest, I guess, with Snacks Harrison or anybody else? I'm not sure how much that would benefit, but I guess, do they have the personnel internally to fix this?
Well, we'll find out. I think that, you know, the biggest issue is they need better cornerback play.
Yeah.
It's the thing that I look at and say they're struggling there. I mean, all three guys have had their issues, whether it's Dunbar, Griffin, or Trey Flowers. They've all three kind of struggled there. I think that's an area that they need to see better play out of. The pass rush is obviously going to be something that's a bit of a concern too. And I don't think Snacks Harrison, you know, he's supposed to visit the team this week. I don't know that he would necessarily come in and solve that.
But I don't think he plays corner.
No, but he, I mean, he would give some rotational depth to the D tackle spots because I think they've played well, but they could use an extra body. And, you know, they've got, you know, a couple options on the practice squad. We saw both, you know, two of them come up this week to play, and Lyndon Stevens and Ryan Neal, who would have to be more of a part of the picture if Jamal Adams is out for the week, obviously, too. So, yeah, so and given Lano Hill's missing the game as well. So whether they have enough, I don't know. But, I mean, for them to give up over 1,200 passing yards in the first three games, which is by far and away the most ever allowed over the first three games of the season in league history, it's not a good place to start.
It's a problem. I mean, it is. It's just flat out a problem. It's a big, big problem. Dunbar's been a problem. Shaquille Griffin's having a terrible year. He's having an awful year in a contract year to boot. Like, you can't be talking about it. You want to be paid like all these top corners. And then I know he had an interception yesterday. He gave up three huge plays right after it. I mean, it's just, and I get the pass rush has been an issue for him, but man, oh man, I mean, they are getting killed in the passing game. I mean, killed. I mean, Ryan's over 400 yards. Prescott's over 400 yards. Newton was 5 yards away, I believe, from being over 400 yards. Those aren't wasted yards or, no, trash yards.
Trash,
That's what Andre Curtis trash called yards. Them, trash yards. Those aren't trash yards. I mean, they have not been good, Curtis.
No, and I mean, I do want to see them play some offenses that aren't pretty proficient, just to kind of balance the scales here and see more of what we're actually dealing with, because both Dallas and Atlanta have high-powered offenses, and New England was able to beat them when you had Diggs out and Marquise Blair going to the sideline, and there's some circumstances. I think we just need to see a little bit more, like for sample size purposes, but there's no doubt that when you look at the way that Shaquille Griffin got, you know, torched a few times yesterday, and not even on the plays where he was in man-to-man, some zone stuff too, and, you know, Trey Flowers, I think, had a couple chances where he was right there and then wasn't able to make the play, whether it was the deep ball, the gallop, the
one off his chest
interception. And Dunbar, you know, has had his issues too, so they need to be better at corner, I think, is, you know, in addition to needing some more pass rush would be nice, obviously, too, but the corners have to play better.
Some bright spots defensively, though. Ugo Amadi had a pretty good game, and then Alton Robinson showed out. Do you think the days of the Alton Robinson healthy scratch are over, Curtis?
Yeah, I think so. I you know, my read of that was more so just them banking on experience those first two games and weighted with special teams considerations too. Like, with Bruce Irvin, you know, being a big part of the pass rush package the first couple weeks, and the guys that they were going to have up for games, you're probably only going to have like maybe 5 to 8 snaps for Alton Robinson defensively if he was going to be active. And then if he's not really a big factor on special teams, it's kind of, you know, makes the roster spot for the game kind of challenging to have. But now that they're in the position where they need that spot a little bit more, Robinson comes up and has a nice debut for them as well. I think that's going to definitely make sure that he's going to be a part of that rotation because they could use it.
Great work as always. What time does Pete Carroll talk today? When should we get some more
3
news?
3 p.m.
Okay, 3 p.m. Curtis will be all over it. Curtis Crabtree, @Curtis_Crabtree on Twitter. All of his work up at sportsradio@kjr.com as well, as we'll get the very latest. Well, a more in-depth probably information on some of the injured guys for the team. Obviously, Jamal Adams, Carson Brooks, and Damian Lewis. Curtis, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Catch you later.
There he is. Curtis Crabtree, our Seahawks reporter, again, here at 950 KJR. You wait for it. You live it. You love it. Fact or Fiction, brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino.
It's time for Fact.
Just the Fact, Jack!
Yeah. Just Fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
It is a fact.
Giants getting points this week, so let's know. 0-5. I really don't think the other. I think that one Giants loss should just count as one.
I mean, but it was three different bets.
I think it should just be 0-3.
Okay. Well, that's not how gambling goes.
Is that not how it operates?
When I don't know who's the coach here? When do we give the Trubisky Foles treatment?
No.
0-5. Just saying. When does Foles come in off the bench?
You make picks in the morning.
No, I don't.
Maybe we'll decide later. You know, 0-5 last year, we were able to turn it around. Actually, I don't know.
I don't think you were.
We'll give you Fridays. We'll give you a pick.
All right.
All right. Okay. I thought you picked on the morning show.
No. I did one because I was hosting it.
All right. Well, you know what? I could use some help.
All right.
I got a game in mind, though, and I'm on a hot streak right now. 0 for 5. Mike Leach screwed me over. The Saints screwed me over. And bleep you, Danny Dimes. Fact or Fiction brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. It's the entertainment capital of Northwest. Did you know they're brand new? Emerald Queen Casino's open in Tacoma.
I did.
D-Town, it's wonderful. It's beautiful.
Yes.
It's open. They're going to take your temperature. There'll be hand sanitizer there. But there still will be the dealer that when she signs off, she'll do the clap and then the hand thing.
Yep, nothing here, nothing there.
Here.
Thank you.
We like an early. I like when you come off an 0-5 week. I like to chase it immediately.
You want a quick result. You want to know you're back.
You want to know quick result, exactly. I like picking Monday Night Football. It's fun. Yeah. So here's the deal. We're going to make our pick. You're going to have 12 minutes of text in fact to 49451 or fiction to 49451. You can play four times a day, only one time during the texting window. So four opportunities, four chances to win.
Okay.
Why is that important to play four times a day? Well, every week we write a check for $1,000 as we put everyone's name in Shockey's scrubby, dirty, non-playoff-wearing Philadelphia Phillies hat. And he draws how much money?
$1,000.
What did they spend to get the guy that cannot get in the postseason? How much did they spend on him?
The way you say, 100.
What did they spend on Harper?
Oh.
Ouch.
That was like 200 mil.
Youch. Youch.
That's hundreds of millions of
dollars.
All
the money they've spent in Philly. Think about, you think your sports life sucks? Think about being a Philadelphia fan. Your basketball team's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Your football team's terrible.
Terrible? The basketball team, terrible?
They're terrible.
Okay.
And then your baseball team, look at all the money they've spent on Simmons, Embiid, Wentz, and Harper.
Ugh. That's a lot of greenbacks going out.
Ouch.
Out.
Where's the bar? Where's it at, Chris?
Oh, yeah, you've got to have that. You've got to have that at the ready.
All right, hold on. You said it's in there? I don't see it, Chris.
Did you put it on?
Yeah, did you put it in there? I don't, hold on, Chris. I'm looking for it. I see this one.
Come on, Jason.
I don't see it.
And then there were four.
All right, the play today. You got 12 minutes of text in fact or fiction. You're going to give me points in Mahomes.
Yeah,
I'm going to take them.
Thank you.
Chiefs plus the 3.5.
You.
Did you like that one?
That's a great
pick. I like Mahomes getting the points. And I like Andy Reid even better on Monday Night Football. What? I almost choked. He's 5-1-1 against the spread on Monday Night Football. Lamar Jackson has one target that he likes to go to more than anyone, and that is big old Mark Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that shut down Mark Andrews better than anyone is the Honey Badger.
Yes.
He's going to shut his ass down. Baltimore loves the blitz. Mahomes likes to take that blitz apart. We're going the Chiefs plus the 3.5 tonight against the Ravens. That's our fact or fiction pick brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. Text in fact to 49451, fiction to 49451. Fact or fiction brought to you by our good friends at the Emerald Queen Casino. Tweet of the day coming up next.
Touchdown, Seattle! A defensive touchdown!
Your home for the 12th man and the NFL.
Big hit, vacuumed in, touchdown, Seahawks!
Seattle Sports Radio 950.
Well, if you're the 49ers, that's exactly what you can't have happen.
KJR.
This is the way we do it, and I know this sounds kind of sick, but I kind of like it like that.
Wilson keeps surveys, deep ball, touchdown, Lockett!
I kind of like it like that.
Wide open for the touchdown is Lockett. Another wide open receiver is Jacob Hollister for the touchdown.
I kind of like it like that.
Wilson looking for somewhere to go. This one is gone for the touchdown.
3-0.
I kind of like it like that.
Now on to Miami. To the end zone. It is Pitts. Seahawks take over. Your home for the 12th man.
Yeah, I always tell you, man, you guess like that. This is what it is.
Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Top of the hour. We got our lunch break. We got Puck to Pick a recap coming up at 12:20. Plenty more to touch in on the Seahawks' big win. They're the Cowboys to go to 3-0 on the season. We learned something during the break, and we'll get to our tweet of the day here. Let's do tweet of the day first, and then we'll get to the Metcalf thing because I got the tweet about what they're doing.
Does that change your mind at all?
No, it still doesn't change my mind at all. Not one bit. Not one bit does it change my mind.
Really?
Not one bit.
It's for the kids.
For the kids. I did it for the kids. Our tweet of the day. You heard me reference this to Tim when we had Tim on the show doing shots.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had grandkids, right?
Yeah.
Okay, have you followed this Joe Montana story in our tweet of the day?
I saw that it existed, but I didn't look into it.
All right. If those have not been following the Joe Montana story, here is what happened. So on Saturday, he's in Malibu. He's got a home in Malibu, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's during the day, and a woman, a 39-year-old woman, gets into their Malibu home where Joe and his wife Jennifer were staying. And this woman took their 9-month-old grandchild and scooped the infant up.
Oh, my God.
She went to another part of the house where Joe and Jennifer Montana confronted her to get the baby back. Someone inside the home flagged down cops who happened to be on the same block. The woman was caught and arrested on burglary and kidnapping.
It's quick response time.
He did talk about it on Twitter. I missed that. That was good.
Man.
Boy, that's how it works in communities. So that's how it's supposed to be done.
Yeah.
Call the cops and they show up.
Weird.
What?
Sorry.
Oh, no, it's good. Montana. Okay, so a woman breaks into their home, takes their 9-month-old grandchild. They wrestle the grandchild out of the woman's hands. Okay, this is Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
The woman takes off and is found later, like on the beach somewhere. Montana then tweets out later that evening, saying, "Thank you to everyone who's reached out. Scary situation, but thankful that everybody's doing well. We appreciate respect for our privacy at this time." Well, then this is where... My antennas were raised a little bit here on this story when it came out. There weren't not a lot of details that came out about it. Like, first of all, who's able just to walk into your house, like, in the afternoon?
Yeah.
And grab the kid out of the playpen?
Maybe this, I mean...
Like, is there not security there? Like,
house.
You're Joe Montana, I guess. But you're in Malibu on the beach. Like, not even just riffraff can walk in down there. So I was like, well, it's kind of an odd story. Kind of weird. Like, I want to know more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got weirder to me. Because on that same day, this happened Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Saturday night, Joe Montana and his wife Jennifer were seen at Nobu in Malibu.
Nobu.
Nobu, which is a very fancy, posh sushi place.
Okay.
They were seen the same day, hours later in Nobu, hours after the incident, having date night.
Hey, you gotta eat.
Now, you guys are not parents. And I am a parent, but I'm not a grandparent.
Yeah.
And I hope that doesn't happen for a very, very, very long time.
Maybe one day.
But, you know, someone like Ian, who's coming up at 1, is on the cusp. No, I'm just joking.
Huh.
I'm kidding. But... put yourself in the position of a grandparent for a moment.
Okay.
If your grandchild hours ago was attempted to be kidnapped in your home.
Okay.
Do you think you would be out 4 hours later going to Nobu to grab a spicy tuna roll, some edamame, and hey, do you have the, is there any mochi for dessert? Because I really like the green tea one.
You know, it might be one of those places that's hard to get a reservation
to. I'm just asking, do you think it's, as I wrote on Twitter, something stinks in suburbia about this? That's a reference from Can't Buy Me Love. Come on. You not know that one?
No, I didn't. Not understand the reference.
You didn't understand it. That's fine. Do you think something's a little off with the story? Why would you be...
Something stinks in suburbia.
Don't you think it's a little odd that Joe and his wife are out on a date night 4 hours later at Nobu after their grandchild almost was kidnapped?
The caper was solved.
Wouldn't you be home, like, freaked out of your mind, out of your minds, like, this isn't right, maybe we should bat down the hatches here? Security team, maybe talk to the detectives, the police, like...
I don't know. If there's an issue where people are breaking into my house, that's probably the one place I might want to not be.
All right, I'm gonna backtrack. If you were babysitting Beast Mode,
okay,
and someone in your neighborhood broke in and tried to kidnap Beast Mode,
yes,
do you think after that all happened and have the shock and scary how that must be, 4 hours later, are you going down to Cloverleaf to grab some pie?
It's good pizza. You know what? After I bribed her not to tell anybody that it happened, yeah, absolutely. What?
You're just playing the other role.
Well, come on.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
You don't find it odd that 4 hours after his grandchild is kidnapped, that he and Jennifer are like, hey, date night, honey, let's go out and grab some Pinot Gris and some edamame at Nobu?
I mean...
something's not right with the story.
Okay.
It's a little off.
So you think something's made up?
I don't know. Either it's made up or he's a weird dude.
Oh, he might be a weird... he's a quarterback. Dude, quarterbacks are all weird. They're all... again, he's in the huddle. He spots John Candy. He says, hey, isn't that John Candy? The dude's weird. They're all weird. The quarterbacks... have you talked to Hugh Millen ever?
Okay. I love Hugh. Fair enough.
Quarterbacks are weird.
Big I don't know. I think he's got some splaining to do.
He went out to dinner. He's got to eat.
All right. Is he gonna not eat? Obviously, it's all solved here. I mean... we almost lost our grandchild, but let's go grab some
case
sushi.
Case closed.
All right, hungry? Lunch break.
Life, honey?
Lunch break coming up next. Hungry? Also, Puck the Picker recap coming up at 12:20.
Tune in tonight for Monday Night Football. It's the Chiefs and Ravens kickoff at 5:20 on your home for every NFL primetime game throughout the season. Sports Radio 950, KJR.